Well, brethren, what will it be like to transition from the millennium into the last great day? We are now prepared for one of the greatest events that is to occur for the benefit of all humankind. Everything is in a state of preparedness. We have been getting a foretaste with the wonderful fellowship and cooperation amongst the brethren here, with enjoying the fine food and the facilities and the weather that this time pictures. We are now poised for the greatest human event in history, the Great White Throne Judgment. But the last 1,000 years in the millennium, we've been in preparing for this coming event. If you will, turn to Revelation 20 and verse 7. And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7, we read this was read to us at the first sermon this morning. And when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. It's difficult for us living in this world to imagine a world without crime, violence, disease, hatred, wars. But just think about it. It will probably be just as difficult for that last generation to imagine what Satan is capable of. The last generation of the millennium. They will be as innocent as a young child. We've had quite a few children here this feast. Can you imagine a man my age being as innocent as those little children? When you look into their eyes and they're just such innocence within them. They will, those in the millennium know what's coming, and they'll be prepared for it. They will know what Satan is going to stir up, because they will have been warned by their teachers, which is you and I. We will have done our job teaching. Remember of the example of the Ezekiel watchman? We will have been warning the last few generations that Satan is due to be released. These people will have never experienced Satan's influence. He will certainly go out to deceive Gog and Magog. But will some of those living God's way be influenced too? Look at the church today. We've been told for years that a tribulation is coming. How many people in the church are taking that seriously today? Now, granted, we've got Satan's constant influence to contend with. These people will have never known that. We grew up with it. They will suddenly have it thrust upon them. And they will have to make a decision. Remember the two trees we heard about this morning. And remember Abraham, when he was going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, and God said, "Now I know." And God is going to say that about each and every one of us, and those in the millennium, and those in the Great White Throne Judgment. He will not allow anyone that he cannot rule to be in his kingdom, to be a son of his. He's going to have to come to the point that he's going to come to say, "Now I know." How can a person prepare for that? Can we assume that everyone alive at the time will be as spiritually strong as Christ was when he confronted Satan? People will always go through a conversion process. There will be the young and the old, all at different levels of conversion. They will still have to build character, just as we are doing now here. If not, people would simply be baptized, have hands placed on them, and off into the kingdom of God. After this Feast of Tabernacles, are we better prepared for teaching the people in the millennium? Do we have an even deeper understanding of what our jobs will be? It's amazing to live through the fulfillment of prophecy. We've lived in the Philadelphia era of the church. We've seen a great work done. We've seen the gospel go to the world for a witness. We've lived through the great falling away, are living in it. We still have a lot of prophecy to look forward to. These people will have been living through the fulfillment of prophecy every day in the millennium. but they will have still more prophecy ahead of them. Waiting to be fulfilled, we must make certain we are preparing these people just as our teachers today are trying to prepare us. If you will, let's turn to John chapter 5 and verse 25. In the Gospel of John chapter 5, 25, we read, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And that's without exception. Let's look at the physical part of the resurrection. These people will need the physical basics of life: food, shelter, and clothing. But more than that, they will need proper teaching and counseling in the way of God. This will all have been prepared in the last few years of the millennium by those human beings that have known no war, no famine, no disease, and will have been taught the way of give. They will be preparing to give those resurrected those basic necessities of life as we have taught them. Just imagine, these people will have nothing. The richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor will come up equal. Just as there will be people in this generation who will live to see another world, those in the last generation in the millennium will be preparing all their lives for that great event of the great white throne judgment. They will also be crossing over into another piece of prophecy. It's been estimated at one time in the church that there were as many as around 60 billion people who have lived that will be resurrected. I need to put a pencil in my Bible and write it in pencil, because with the number of stars that they've, galaxies, the trillions of galaxies now that they've discovered, and I used to think I had the number of stars written in my Bible, but you're going to have to use a pencil, because we have to erase it ever so often, because we discover vastness of God's vast universe. But we will have to grow extra food. Well, we have to grow extra food and store some of it, just as Joseph did, just to be able to feed that many people before they can get their lives started again. How many homes? How many jobs? And just the basics, as I said, food, clothing, and shelter. What will it be like to integrate 60 billion people into the world all of a sudden? It's mind-boggling. No one in the history of the world has ever undertaken such a task. It will require incredible organization. Just think about what it takes to keep this country's army supplied and everything moving forward. Just one of the logistics of maintaining an army in the field for a few weeks is incredible, and I know about that. The most brilliant of generals of our time would balk at the task of organizing 60 billion people. And we're talking about men, women, and children. When you start getting into things a little deeper, we begin to realize that the preparation for this event will have to be vast. There will be differences in cultural differences, languages differences, and religious differences. How about the millions of people who are just relieved not to wake up in a burning hell fire? They will be ushered into a new utopia. We heard that this morning in the sermon. A utopia, something that the dictionary says is impossible. Suddenly thrust into a world where all the swords have been beaten into plowshares, where their formerly wild animals will be docile. What a shock. Will they be hard to work with? I sometimes think we assume that these incorrigible figures in history, the Hitlers, the Mussolinis, the Genghis Khans, the Attila the Hun, will be very hard to work with. But have you ever thought about the very act of dying and being resurrected and seeing Jesus Christ and the other God beings maybe have a very humbling effect on these men? But one of the realities is our way to communicate. I gave that in the first sermon that I gave. People speaking the English language. 500 years ago, you couldn't communicate in the English language. We can see that from some verses in the King James Bible. Will we be grouped by families, by the century they lived in? All you Babylonians over here, all you Egyptians over here, all you Assyrians over here, anybody born after 800 BC, y'all stand over there. It's going to take some planning, brethren. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 we read, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. We can be assured that this great being has a plan and a purpose. And we will have been made known of this plan and this purpose. All we have to do is do our part." When one thing in this plan or purpose has been forgotten or overlooked, it can create a domino effect. No one item is insignificant. Who forgot the toilet tissue? Then there's a spiritual element, the most important. As well as the physical, we will need to prepare the people spiritually to receive 60 billion people. Even though they are expecting it, it may be a little shocking. People will have to give, and I underline the word give, in a way they've never given before. To show love, underline the word love, in a way that they've never had to before. They'll have to open their homes to 60 billion strangers or more. We will have to prepare them for that. These days of the feast have been a blessing for God's people, for us. What we've experienced here is just a brief and tiny taste of the world tomorrow. The most fun you've had, the best conversation you've had, the most inspiring sermon that you've heard, all pale next to the reality we will see in the millennium and the great white throne judgment. Let's prepare ourselves so that we can prepare the people of the world tomorrow in the coming kingdom of God.